Our reading this morning is out of John 2, verses 13 through 17. I'll be reading in the New King James. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. And when he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple, with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. Then he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." And then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up."
What is it that you are very passionate about? I know this time of year, college football season is in full swing, and there are a lot of very passionate fans, especially whenever a certain team is ahead and performing very well, people cheer very loudly. But also, on the other hand, when things are not going to expectations, you can see how people are just as passionate, but in a negative way. And just imagine if that's the way we are about everything, every day. Our jobs, perhaps our classes that we're taking, the relationships that we have with our neighbors, do we get along very well or do we not? Or what about when we see things that are not as they should be? After all, we know very well that sin is very prevalent around us. When you look at the passage that was just read by Brother Treadway moments ago, you find Jesus was very, very passionate about his Father's house. And when he entered to the time of the Passover there in the temple at Jerusalem, well, we know what he usually does when he goes there, but things are not as they always are. In fact, there were those that were doing business, things not intended there by his Heavenly Father. And so when Jesus naturally sees these things going on, he begins to turn the tables on them, so to speak. He says there in verse 16, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." Another passage that is very similar to what is recorded here is that by the Gospel of Mark. In chapter 11, there in verse 15, here is how Mark describes this. "So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, 'Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves.'" Jesus was very passionate about doing his Father's will. And as he came to this earth, he was passionate about living the sinless life, of fulfilling all the prophecies that were written about him. He was also very passionate about teaching others about himself and what it is that they could do to do the will of God. He taught others what it meant to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, and what one must do in order to enter that kingdom. But as we clearly realize, Jesus was passionate to teach others. This is what Jesus said. This is what you're doing. Are those two things the same? If not, we're the ones that needs to change. We're the ones that need to do our Heavenly Father's will. Isn't that what Jesus was all about? Remember what happened in the Gospel of Luke? There in chapter 2, the Bible tells us as Jesus was beginning to grow, it was a custom that he and his parents would go to Jerusalem. You'll recall because they were still keeping the feast of the Passover, something very similar to what was taking place here in John chapter 2. It was the same day, it was the same time of year, but just a few years of difference. And so, when Jesus was coming back from Jerusalem, recall that his parents did not have a clue as to where he might be. And so they begin to retrace their steps and wondering exactly where is Jesus. Well, there in verse 49, we begin to know they found Jesus. And what was he doing? Of course, he was there in the temple, same place, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Many were amazed at his level of understanding and answers. And when his parents began to ask him about this, in verse 49, he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Can you see the passion, the desire that Jesus had? Wanting to be sure others understood about the law. And that truly there was coming a time in which he would fulfill those very things. Jesus knew what the law was all about. He knew what his purpose was in that law. And therefore, as time went on, he made sure others were aware and shared that same passage as he. And so, we told even later in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4 and verse 16, that Jesus again came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and began to stand up and read. It was his custom. It was his passion. Each and every week, Jesus knew there was something that he had to do. He had a calling. And certainly he was willing to fulfill that very calling. But then if you also remember, there in John chapter 2 and in verse 17, what was it the disciples remembered about him? They remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." That word zeal tells us a great passion. And certainly they could see the zeal that Jesus had being in the presence of his Father's house. But do you remember why these words originally were written? You've got to go back to the book of Psalms. There in chapter 69 and in verse 9, David wrote these words. He said, "Because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen upon me." But just as Jesus was very passionate about working in his Father's house, David too was very passionate about the house of God. Throughout the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, we find that sometimes the house of God is a building that people erected. But if you remember, what was significant about that building is because that is where God dwelt. That represented the presence of God. In the New Testament, we're told that our bodies is the temple of God. Everywhere we go, we've got to remember God is with us. And likewise, we are with Him, provided that we keep His will and walk in the light as He is in the light, as John says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But you see, there is a time in which we can be separated from God. You'll recall that Isaiah said in chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, that our sins or our iniquities separate us from God. Wasn't David, like all of us, a sinner? I'm sure we remember several things that David had done, committing adultery, committing murder, lying and covering things up, and on the list we could go. But yet many of the Psalms tell us that David was very remorseful. He had a broken and contrite heart, one that was willing to do what was necessary to come back to God. And so later, God would do what was necessary to come to us. That's why he sent Jesus, his only begotten Son. That's why Jesus died upon the cross, shed his sinless blood that our sins could be washed away, that it would be possible our sins would be removed to allow us to be reconciled to God. Back here in John chapter 2, Jesus went on to remember these very things. If we were to pick up in the verse 18, the Jews answered and said unto Jesus, What sign then do you show to us, since you do these things? But Jesus said there in verse 19, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. But then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word with which Jesus had said. Can you imagine the zeal, the passion that his disciples would have when Jesus arose from the dead, that they would be willing to share the things that they have seen and heard? And as John says, they remembered the things the scripture had said. And certainly they would call to their minds the words that Jesus had spoke. And that's very true of us even today. We need to be passionate about what the scriptures teach us and how we are willing to share the gospel message that has the power to give anyone and everyone everlasting life. Jesus had a passion, not only for the physical things, but even more so, the spiritual things. And that's the lesson that he often teaches us. But what else do we learn here about the words of David? Well, if you remember another psalm David had written, in chapter 122, he said there in verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Didn't David have passion to go to his heavenly Father's house? And then later in verse 9 of the same chapter, he added, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Is that the way that you and I feel about God's house? About where God is? Are we excited to be there? Are we excited to know that God will never leave us nor forsake us? Are we excited to know that there is one that can guide us, that can encourage us, and help us in any way that we may need? Therefore, just as David wanted to seek the good of God and the good of others, that's the way we need to be. What good can I do for God? How can I help someone else? Jesus even taught us that by doing good for others, it is the same as doing that unto Him. But today, we can be in a physical house to worship a spiritual, eternal God. Do we have that same zeal, the same passion? Do we long every day to come back to assemble with the saints, to worship God, our Savior? Do we look forward to our study of the Bible during the middle of the week, or hopefully each and every day? Do we share that zeal with others? Do we find someone and invite them, come, worship God with us. Come, let us sit down and study His Word together. Come, let us teach the gospel of Christ, and perhaps lead many lost souls unto Him. But then, there's another passage in the book of Psalms that's not necessarily attributed to David. Perhaps the longest psalm, Psalm 119, has many passages dealing with the attitude of seeking the Lord's will. But if we were just to focus on a few verses, we find there beginning in verse 139, my zeal has consumed me, because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Can you imagine that the writer here says, your words are very, very dear to me? I have a great zeal to learn your words, to teach them because others have forgotten them. Isn't there a great need to teach our word, the word of God in society today? So many times people seek out their own will instead of the will of God. And if you were to ask them, why aren't you doing this as opposed to that, you'll quickly find maybe they did not know any better. In fact, when you go back to the problems of perhaps why children are growing up and doing certain things and begin to forget, maybe it's because they're not being taught at home. That was the message taught many times throughout the Old Testament. Teach them to your children, to your children's children, and each succeeding generation. Just as God began to teach His people in the Old Testament, the children of Israel began to teach theirs, and on down the line, we can easily remember and learn what it is that God wants us to know. After all, if He's given us His Bible, this inspired Word. All we have to do is read it, to study it, to learn it, to share it, and also to live it. Paul was very passionate about that, especially in his words to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. He said to study or to be diligent, to present yourselves as students of the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but can rightly divide the word of truth. How many people are ashamed because they simply do not know the Word of God? I wish that we had been taught perhaps a little bit earlier. But we can all start right here and right now to learn God's Word and also to teach others that they can teach others. And we can also live it each and every day. And so when you think about, first of all, a zeal for the purpose of the house of God, our worship to Him, we also think, what can we do to contribute to help God in every way, perhaps each and every day? Well, I'll give you an example of one individual that did that very thing, and that was King David. Just as he had made a share of his mistakes, like we all do, he also made a share of great benefits, doing good things that we can all do. When you go back to 1 Chronicles in chapter 22, there in verse 8, or in chapter 28 and verse 3, you find that King David wanted very zealously to build a house for his God. But there was one little problem with that. God would not allow him to do so. And there were two reasons why that are stated in that text. We find, first of all, because David was a man of war and also had shed much blood. And so David, knowing that he could not physically build that house, that didn't stop him for directing and helping others to build that house. Later in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, notice what we're told beginning in verse 1. Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now for the house of my God I have prepared with all my might, gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver, 3,000 talents of gold of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses, the gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver, and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly." You see, King David was zealous. He wanted to help with his house of his father, but he also knew there was only so much he could do. But so, not only did he do what he could do, he also helped direct others to do what they could do. And we're told that they were very willing. See the zealous attitude? everything that they had, they were willing to give and bring for the cause of the Lord. Do we share that same attitude today? Are there things that we have that we too can give unto God? After all, that was a commandment for Christians in the New Testament. Upon the first day of the week, we are to lay by in store. Maybe there's something that we have God needs. In fact, there is something that we can have to do the work of the church, to share the gospel of Christ. But are we giving in a zealous manner? You recall that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, here a little bit, the Apostle Paul talks about how we should give. If we were to begin there in verse 7, he says, "Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Even as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seeds you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us unto God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings unto God. While, through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and for all men." Imagine if we all were zealous in our giving to God. If we were zealous in our giving to each other. I know last week we talked a little bit about what it was the early Christians did for each other. They were zealous. They shared everything they had. And they had all things in common. And we can even look to the church at Macedonia because of their giving attitude. In fact, just a chapter earlier in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about them. In chapter 8 and verse 2, he says, "In a great trial of affliction, out of the abundance of their joy and deep poverty, it abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and even beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then unto us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, and in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also." One good thing about the Macedonians, they gave well beyond their ability. But first, they gave themselves to the Lord. And that's what God expects of us. He wants ourselves, first and foremost, to be given unto Him, and then we can share with others. So many times I admire those that take part in the Lord's church because they have a great respect for God and to do His work and to help others in the same direction. Elders are to oversee the Lord's church, but they are supposed to do so zealously, willingly, not as compulsion, according to 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 2. But then, let's look at one other place in the Old Testament. Remember that there was a time before the temple was built, the tabernacle was. Sometime you could read on your own from Exodus chapter 35, beginning in verse 21 and reading throughout the rest of the chapter. See how Moses did his part in preparing the building of God. The text there tells us that the hearts of the Israelites were stirred. Many of them were willing to bring whatever they had, all kinds of materials, whether it be gold or silver or bronze or something even of lesser value, some that had a special talents, the craftsmen, the iron workers, the weavers, and other things. And whatever it was, they were willing to zealously use their talents to give with all liberality in the construction of the tabernacle. And maybe today we have something that can too contribute for the cause of Christ. Maybe there's something that we have God can use. After all, we're all members of the same body, but we all have different functions. We're all different. We can all do different things, but God can use you, and He can use me. He tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 that we present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Therefore, if we have the right zeal, the right attitude, we have a willing mind to work, we've got to know what to do, don't we? Because you recall, Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 2, there were some that had a great zeal, but not according to knowledge. That was true of Paul himself, was it not? Didn't he have a great zeal when he was persecuting Christians and causing great havoc of the church? But he didn't know any better. In fact, he tells us later that he thought he was before God in all good conscience until that very day. But God used that zeal, gave him a little knowledge, and he was able to do great things for the cause of Christ. And so, if that applies to you, don't worry. If we do not have the knowledge, God will supply it. If any of us lacks wisdom, let him ask in faith. And God certainly will supply his need for his saints. So, this morning I ask you, do you have that zeal for God? Do I have the zeal for God? Well, I'm sure we can tell as we come together each and every time to worship God, to invite others to church, to study our Bibles with us throughout the week, and even in our own personal devotion to God. This morning, if you've not yet become a child of God, we encourage you to do so. Have a zeal for the truth, to come to be baptized for the remission of your sins, and to go and live the faithful Christian life, leading many others unto Him. If you need to respond this morning, won't you do so as together we stand and sing.